Good morning and Happy New Year. Thank you. I want to thank you for that beautiful prelude and welcome Elizabeth Fields to the organ this morning. It's nice to have you here. All kinds of things happening. I thought that after Christmas we were going to like slow down. Well, we forgot. We forgot to slow down. But that's a good thing. Lots of things happening. Make sure you read a bulletin, but I wanted to highlight a few of those for you. Today, right after this service, it's time to undecorate, which is sad, but we will. Anyway, if you would like to take a poinsettia or there's one poor cactus left home, even if you didn't offer one as a gift, please take them home. We are a no-kill church. However, I don't know what happens to these poinsettias if no one takes them home. So if you can make a home for them, please take one at the end of worship today. We are celebrating our 60th anniversary here at Ponca Place on February 2nd. Note that date change. Please register, though, for lunch. They want to just make sure there's a good count, and there's actually a food choice. So please register out at the table. Joanne will be out there after worship and will help you sign up just to get a good count. So we are excited about that. The Green Team is having the Environmental Speaker Series throughout this month, so you have an opportunity to be part of that. What else can I tell you? Not next Sunday, the 12th, but on the 19th, we will all gather up here before this service. So come early, like at 10:15. That's not too much early. So come in and line up, because we have to take a picture of all of us. All of us. We're going to do it next Sunday, but Nelson Chen, who takes most of our photos, is in Egypt. He didn't even ask. He just went. So we need him to be here so we can take the whole church photo. And the reason we have to take the whole church photo is the Reconciling Ministries Network would like a picture of all of us to post with our... We could put the building, but I think people are nicer looking, don't you? We have a nice building, but... if you haven't seen the information, we did count the votes on December 22nd and are now a reconciling congregation. 157 people voted, and 94% of them voted yes. So that's a really exciting time for us as church. So we need to celebrate that and take our photo. So we'll do that on the 19th. I also want to say that some of you have seen in the news in various sources that the United Methodist Church has split. Those people don't know what they're talking about. We have not split. We can't split because guess what hasn't happened yet? We haven't voted. Everybody who's a Methodist knows we have to vote on things, right? But it was in everything, all over the place, this new plan that got put out. I think I saw it on the Washington Post, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, CBS News, several other places, and it was reported kind of inaccurately. If you're ever looking for information, feel free to always ask me. The second thing to look at is the United Methodist News Service, UMNS.org, because at least they understand the rules of Methodism. The plan that was put forward over the weekend talks about a split. It's highly likely that a split will happen. It might even be something like that plan. But it has to be voted on at General Conference in May. It has to go through the legislative process at General Conference in May. And that means things can shift and change. It's a plan that allows exiting for people who don't want to be in the United Methodist Church that is open and inviting to everyone. So it's really difficult for some congregations because they've never had that conversation at all. You all are way ahead of the game because you've had the conversation, so that's helpful for us. But pray for the United Methodists around the world and around the country as we try to make decisions, but none of that will happen for sure till May. So just know that. We're the same as we were before yesterday, so but feel free to ask questions as you have them. One last piece of good news for 2019. All the numbers aren't in yet, but it looks like, we're pretty sure, that for 2019, Mountain View United Methodist Church is going to end the year in the black. A hand of applause to all of you. That is good news, and it's an exciting way to start 2020 and to make it be the best Mountain View we can be. There's nobody here from the, no, okay. Interfaith hospitality, interfaith, what's it called? Intentional faith development, sorry, only the abbreviation, and radical hospitality have come together to create some small group opportunities in the year ahead, and there are sign-up sheets out there. These are short-term. They only last through May. They are for fun only. No work, no, there's things like hiking or meals or going to movies, and those are on the welcome desk, so sign up for one of those. Okay, greet each other quickly, because we had a lot, didn't we? And we still have a lot more. So say hi, really fast.
Hi.
Are we ready to rock here? Good morning. Yeah, you can kind of come on back to your seats. We have for this Sunday and this Sunday only, this congregational introit, and it is number 188 in your hymnal, Christ is the World's Light. It is, folks may be unfamiliar with this, so if you certainly would like to crack a hymnal instead of just try and figure it out from the screen, that might not be a bad idea. And would you stand for that and then stay standing for the call to worship and for our opening hymn?
People of faith, it is time to look ahead in hope.
We step into the unknown with hope.
People of hope, it is time to walk in the footsteps of Jesus.
We step
forward together. Please stay standing for the opening hymn, The First Noel.
Thank you.
You may be seated. If we have any other kids who want to come forward, come on up now. Hey, guys. Are we ready for school this week? Feels like we've been out of school forever. You guys are ready? Oh, I'm glad you're excited about that. You guys are ready. So tell me, you guys, if you were going to go somewhere you've never been, how would you figure out how to get there? What would you use? Google Maps. Exactly. You would use a map. What would you do? Besides a map, what would you use? You would follow somebody there? Oh, a compass. I thought you said follow. You would use a compass? That could get us somewhere we didn't know, we've never been before. What about you? We're kind of out of ideas, right? We got maps, we got Google Maps, we got a compass. What else? A memory system to see where you are? Yeah, like on your phone? Like in your mind, you'd remember where you were? Well, those are all really good ways to get there, you guys. If I've never been somewhere, I would definitely depend on those things. But we know this part of the story. At the end of the Christmas story, we know what comes next, right? So Jesus has been born. He's in the stable. The shepherds have been told. The angels have been around. The animals were there. Who were the last people to come in the Christmas story? The wise men. And they had to travel a really long way. And you know what? They did not have Google Maps. I don't even know if they had a compass. I don't even know what they had. You know what they had? They had the star. That's right, Eleanor. They had the star. God gave them a bright star in the sky so they could follow and find Jesus, right? So they walked far and far and far. When they got there, they brought him gifts. They worshiped him. They were very excited to be there and to be a part of the whole story. So today, if we wanted to go somewhere, if we wanted to find Jesus, can we use Google Maps? No, we don't need Google Maps. Are there still stars in the sky to take us to Jesus? Maybe we could find that same star, but we have other ways to find Jesus. We're always searching Jesus out, just like those wise men. We can pray. We can think about him. What else can we do? We can read the Bible. Exactly. Those are all ways that we can continue to look for Jesus, even today. Pretty cool, huh? So in the playground today, I gave you guys pictures of stars with watercolor paints and some white crayons. And what I want you guys to think about is how you can continue to search for Jesus. And maybe you can use one of those white crayons to draw a picture or write a word, maybe draw a Bible, or you can write the word pray. And then when you paint your star, you'll be able to see those words. And it will remind you. Perfect. And it will remind you, when you take it home, to always look for Jesus, right? Can we pray, you guys? Put your hands together. Say, hey, God. Help us to always search for Jesus. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for Sunday school. And thank you for people to teach us. That way we can always find you. We love you, God. Thanks for loving us. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come to this first Sunday of the new year full of expectation, full of possibilities, waiting to see what this world will hold, what this year looks like as we move into it. We come finished with Christmas and yet realizing that Christmas needs to come in so many places and so many areas of our lives still. Keep that before us. Help us to look to the stars, not to find you, but to remember you. Help us to look to the stars to find a path, the path that leads us to you as followers of you. Remind us that we are your followers, that we come to worship and praise you, to live our lives in a way that will be pleasing to you. As we begin this 2020, bless us. Help us to have clear vision, to be true followers of all that you would have us be. Help us to remember the one you sent as we seek him out. Help us to remember the prayer he taught us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stay seated as we sing our song of faith, Star Child. As we begin 2020, I invite you to think of the gifts that you have been blessed with as the ushers come forward to receive your gifts and offerings. Thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this new year that unfolds before us. We give you thanks for all that you have done and all that you will continue to do. Bless these gifts that we return to you. Amen.
Please join me in the scriptural meditation found in your bulletin. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Our scripture focus for today is from Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." When Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared, then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, choir. Today is the day when we talk about the wise ones, or the wise men, or the magi, or the three kings, or whatever you may be used to calling them. It's the day when we stop and remember the end of the Christmas story. I've always liked this day because I love all the legends that have arisen around these characters from the story. The biggest legend is the three. There's no mention of three in the Bible. There are three gifts, but not necessarily three people. Sometimes, especially when we do a Christmas pageant, we have five or six. Some ancient authorities think that there were actually three tribes that came, or three, but there must be three because we know their names, don't we? How many of you know the names? Shout out a few of those names. Do you know their names?
Balthazar.
Balthazar, favorite from the choir.
Gasper
from the choir. The choir has sung in these songs, they know. What? Balthazar? Yes. And Fred. No, I don't know. I think we got them all. Melchior, that's the third one right there. Very good. So there must be three because the legend says so. And it's exactly what I just called it, a legend. It's a legend. We don't know. Nobody wrote it down. We just know that some people came from the East. We believe that they came from India and Persia, that they came from the area that's now Turkey. From that general area, it's believed that's where they came from. But there's so much around it. But my question is, does it matter? Does it matter if the story is true or not? Does it matter if we know exactly who came and when they came and where they came? Does it matter? And I would argue, not really. What matters is the truth of the story. And maybe the legends that have built up, because it reminds us that the story is important in our journey. That the story has something to say. There's all kinds of great legends out there, aren't there? Not just about this, but in stories of history. Stories that remind us of greater times, different times. Stories that keep our imaginations going. I love those stories. King Arthur, all those kinds of legends. And I want to share with you today the story of two kingdoms long ago. The kingdom of Tar and the kingdom of Ori. Have you heard the story of those two kingdoms? Do you know about them? Well, these were two kingdoms that shared a border. And like many bordering kingdoms in a certain era and time, they were fighting constantly for those few inches back and forth. They fought nonstop. It was people's career and life to fight and defend the border. And so they would, you know, a few steps this way, a few steps this way, and going back and forth and back and forth. But the kings, they didn't really care. They just sat in their castles and counted whatever it is that kings count. And they looked about the riches that they had, and they wanted those few feet, but they weren't actively involved. They weren't actively involved in the actual battle. Well, one day, the soldiers from both sides looked around and they said, "This is awful. We cannot work in these kinds of conditions. Look at all of the weeds that have grown up in this field. They can't expect us to work like this." So they went and sent a messenger to each of the kingdoms, and they said, "King, we refuse to work like this. We want better conditions. We want all of the weeds gone in these fields." Now, any of you who have ever battled weeds know that this is going to be difficult. And the king said, "Fine, whatever. You can do that." So they called a ceasefire. They called a ceasefire, and everyone went back, the soldiers go back to the field, and they started to work together, to cooperate, to make sure that there were no weeds. You know, one dandelion is the same as the other, and you've got to get rid of them, and the thistles, and you can imagine, can't you? And so they worked together until eventually the field was beautiful. The grass came back, and they had had a cause together, and they learned that they weren't very different from one another. And so they went back to the kings and they said, "We're done. It's beautiful now, and we really don't see any reason to fight. We would rather work together. What do you think, kings?" And the kings thought about it the way kings do, and they consulted with some people and they said, "You know, you might be onto something here. It's wonderful that we can work for peace in this place. Let's do it." And they shook hands and they signed some papers and they agreed. And from then on, they were known as the weed-free kings of Ori and Tar. One of the best things about coming to a new church, I can use that story again. That story's not true. In case you're going to Google it, there were no such thing. It's just fun. And it doesn't even really have any point, except maybe there is a point, even though it's a silly story, that when we work together, we can find peace. And that's what's important in all of the stories, even the biblical stories. What's the point? What do we get from those stories? What do they do for us today? And the story of the three kings is that way as well. What do we get from that story today? What do we learn from it? It's a powerful story, however many people there were, however many of them went to find the Messiah. We know that there were people actually looking for him, and they believe that most of them were actually from a religion called Zoroastrians. They were Zoroastrians, and these are people who were astrologists, not astronomers, but astrologists. They looked for signs in the stars. They looked for signs, and then they were actually pretty good at reading these signs in the stars and making predictions, and people started to follow them. Well, the founder of that religion was born of a virgin, and he believed, and all of his followers believed, that someday a Messiah would be born also of a virgin. Do you see where this story is going? And so they were excited when they see the stars aligned, and they said, this is it, the moment we have been waiting for. And so they started out on the journey, and it probably took them several months. We don't know for sure. And they arrived. But on their way, they ran into Herod. And that's where this story gets tricky. There are two people going to see the Messiah, the baby that's born. Did you catch that? And did you hear what Emily said? The people, the Magi, were excited. They can't wait to go and pay homage, treating him like royalty. But then there's Herod. And Herod says, no, I can't wait to find out where he is because I need to do him in. I had her stop. I didn't want to go into the whole story because it becomes the story of the slaughter of the innocents, and who wants to hear that? It's an awful part of the story. But do you see the difference? These foreigners, these people from far away, want to come and pay homage to Jesus. But Herod, who was a Jew appointed by the Romans to be over the government, he wants to get rid of him. Big difference, isn't there? How we hear and perceive news can make a big difference based on our opinion, based on how we see things. For one group, they saw that the promises had been fulfilled, and for the other, he was afraid of what would happen to his leadership. Do you ever, in this day and age, hear something in the news and just stop and wonder? Do you ever see something in the news and you talk to somebody else and you know that you didn't hear the same news story? That's why the term fake news has come to be popular. Fake news is that which cannot be proven to be true. People made it up. And maybe Herod wished that the story of the birth of the Messiah was fake news. Have you ever had that in today's news? How do you know if something's true or not when you read it? For example, it's broken my heart the last few days to see the pictures of Australia, to see the fires burning, to see the animals killed by the fires. Have you seen some of those pictures? It's difficult, isn't it? But I also wondered if it was an exaggeration. How many of you have ever had someone who lives in a different part of the country call and say, oh my goodness, I've seen your blizzard, how can you get out? And you look out the window and we have a few flakes. Because they find the worst to show on the news. Kevin has a friend in Australia and we talked to him the other day. And he said it's as bad as they say. It truly is as bad as they say. And he said that the only thing that will put the fires out is rain. And there's rain in the forecast for May. For May. It is as bad as they say. I believe the stories now because I've had it verified for me. And do you ever need to have that verification? And sometimes we do. The news today can be shocking and disturbing. And sometimes it comes at us in different places and ways. And we need to find out for ourselves. The stories of our denomination, when I first read about it, I thought, wait a minute, that can't be right. And that's when I went to the United Methodist News Service, umns.org, and I read for myself, and I said, this makes sense. I had to verify it in ways that I could figure out. And we have to do that with the news sometimes. We can't just take it at face value anymore. Some of us have been afraid in the last few days that we might be going to war. And what that might look like. And it scares me. And this isn't a political statement, it's a human statement. The thought of being at war is scary. It scares me a lot. I haven't really lived in a war area. I don't know what it would look like. What about people I know who are in the armed services? I worry. And I want to verify it, and that's one that's harder. I don't know anybody there. I don't know how to find the answers, so I try to look at different sources to figure out what's going on. And I still feel scared. The news is all around us. How many of you have ever taken a break from the news? Choir, have you ever taken a break from the news? You just don't want to hear it anymore. And I've done that, and it feels kind of nice, isn't it? But then you know what happens? One of you sends me an email with a clipping. And I'm glad of that, actually. Don't take me wrong. Or I see on Facebook something, or I hear the radio accidentally. You can't get away from it. It's everywhere. And when that happens to me after I've had a little break and then it comes back at me, what I always think is, yes, I need to know what's going on in the world. I have to. As the leader of this church, I've got to know, because it's going to impact some of us. Everything that we see in the news is going to impact someone. And what I need to know is, one, what they're reporting, what's happening, but also how to look at it through the lens of one who follows Jesus. How do I look at it as one who follows Jesus? And that's what this story can show us. The Magi went because they believed. It doesn't matter if they were exactly the story, the way we picture it, but what we need to know is that they went because they believed and they were excited to learn and to see for themselves, not like Herod. Herod, who said, we need to get rid of this. Which way do we look at the stories? How do we understand them? I know for a fact that we don't all agree. We don't all agree on many things, and yet we have to come to agreement sometimes as Christians. And I want to encourage you, when those news stories come at you, to stop and look at your faith and then decide how you respond. Engage others in that conversation. Oh, that's hard. Isn't that hard? To say, let's talk about this through the lens of faith. But you are people of faith. And we want to look at the world that way, to understand it as best we can. I wish I could tell you, always look at this source and you'll have the truth. It doesn't work that way. The truth is something that's difficult and fleeting. Did you know that the three wise men, that we don't know if they really existed or not, we know where their bones are? I've seen them. In Cologne, in the cathedral, at the Cologne Dome, are the remains of the three wise men. Right there. You can go see them too. And people flock there to be present with those bones, to pray, to be healed, to see light, to follow Jesus. They come there. Now, how do they ever get in Cologne? Because the people of Cologne stole them from Milan. Mm-hmm. And the people of Milan, they weren't there either. They stole them from somewhere in Persia because a conqueror named Helena went and got them. Now, how they got there, the story gets a little iffy. But there's reports of these bones, and here they are. Can we prove it's true? No, but we also can't prove it either. We don't know that it's not true. I know a lot of people go there. Does the truth matter? Yes, but to some people who have been healed, that's amazing, isn't it? Whose bones are there? I don't know. Probably not the people who actually saw Jesus, because the first recorded sighting of these bones was 500 years later. A lot can happen in 500 years. But the point isn't, are they true or not, but what do they signify? And they signify people of great faith who believed in the coming of the Messiah. That's the symbol. Do you all believe? Do you believe that Jesus came and brings hope to the world? Do you look at the world through that lens? Because that's what we're supposed to do. As we come to a time of communion, I encourage you to think not about the news particularly, but to think about the lens in which you look at the world. And when you come up down the aisle, when you take your time to get here, think about the journey. Not the journey up the aisle, but the journey you are on seeking the one who has come. And thinking about how that journey informs you and informs how you look at the world. Amen. As we come to a time of communion, There will be sung responses, and Steve will help lead those. I want to remind you, as we come to this time of communion, that you are all welcome at this table. This isn't the table of Mountain View or of the United Methodist Church. It's the table of Jesus, and everybody is welcome. Everybody who wants to come and be on this journey. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is a right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, before you formed the earth from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of the darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. And blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself, our light and our salvation. You sent a star to guide wise men to where the Christ was born. And in your signs and witnesses, in every age and through all the world, you have led your people from far places to his light. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by spirit and water. On the night that he gave himself up for us, he took bread and gave thanks to you. Offering the bread, he broke the bread and said, "Take and eat from this as often as you will." And when they'd finished with the supper, he took the cup. And again, he lifted it up. And said, "Drink from this as often as you will, to remember the new covenant." We offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the great mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord. Profess your resurrection until you come again.
Each of us gathered in this place that we may know you, that we may feel your presence, and pour out your spirit on these gifts of bread and on the cup, that they may become for each of us a remembrance a remembrance of your body and your blood, a remembrance of the cup of the new covenant. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. I would invite those serving communion to please come forward. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this new year, this table, and the gift of your Son. Help us to look for him in wonder, to be excited, and to look for that news which is good. Be with us as we go from this place. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing our closing hymn, We Three Kings of Orientar.
Verses 1, 2, and 5.
Of wonder, the star of light, sharing the good news wherever you are. Amen.